As we turn, please, to that passage from Luke chapter 2 that we read together, we read the verses 8 through to the verse 20, I want to speak to you today upon the subject of following in the steps of the shepherds. Let's just ask the Lord to bless us as we gather for a season around His Word. O God, at a time of the year when the world is abuzz with myth and fable and fancy concerning the death, concerning the life, and especially concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we praise Thee we may turn to the infallible Word of God. Matthew said the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. And Lord, we thank Thee that we do have a divine record concerning the birth of Christ and why He was born. Lord, may we today come like the shepherds and wonder and worship and glorify God afresh for His mercy and His love. Speak to each one of us as we're gathered for this time of worship. Oh, bless us, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It is a joy to be numbered amongst those who every day worship the Lord and rejoice in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world is filled with clamor at this present time concerning the birth of Christ. We are all aware of it, and as Christians it grieves us to see the supposed honor that is being paid to Christ in the midst of all the celebrations that are taking place. We are grieved, for we know that it is no honor that they are paying to the Savior at all, but rather mankind is advertising his ignorance of God's truth. The 25th of December is not a date for us to particularly mark the birth of the Lord Jesus. Rather, we mark his birth every Lord's Day as we gather to worship him. More than that, we mark his birth surely every day in our own homes as we read afresh God's word and the story of redemption. Aye, and every time we bow our heads in prayer, and I trust that that's more than once a day, we rejoice in the name of the one who was born at Bethlehem. For it's through his name that we gain entrance and acceptance with God in prayer. I want to speak on the subject of the birth of Christ today, not because it is today that, or at this time of the year that he was born, but if ever there was a time of the year for the message, the true message of Christ's birth to be preached upon, it is now, when the myth and the falsehood and the deceit is circulating in such abundance. Now is the time to speak up and tell the truth concerning the birth of Christ. So we aim to do that today in the will of the Lord. I want to take really all that passage that we read, the verses 8 through to 20 of chapter 2 of Luke, and make it my text today. It's really a simple exposition of this portion of God's Word. Some 24 years ago, I was privileged to stand in Bethlehem and to look out over the fields that it's claimed are the fields in which the shepherds watched their sheep that night so long ago. The very fields, likely, that David watched the flock of his father. For he watched his flock, the father's flock, in Bethlehem, we are told in 1 Samuel chapter 17. The shepherds were the first to see the Lord Jesus, apart from Mary and Joseph. That is a significant factor for us to think about, that God should show his Son, the Lord Jesus, to men of such humble callings as were the shepherds. Tells us a lot about the whole scheme of redemption and the purpose and the plan of God. These shepherds were invited to come and see the Savior by the angels with those wondrous words recorded in the verses 10 through to 14. What an invitation! What an invitation! There's not an invitation to any gathering organized by men could ever rival the honor done to the shepherds when they received this angelic invitation sent by God for them to come and behold the newborn Christ. It's interesting to note that it took place at night. It serves to remind us that the Lord Jesus was born in a world of darkness. A world of darkness. That darkness is still upon the world, and the only light that can penetrate that darkness is the light of heaven, even as it was the light of heaven that shone upon the angels on this wondrous occasion. These words spoken by the angels are a model for all preachers. Preachers ought ever to come back to this passage and look at it and note the presentation of divine truth that is outlined here and learn from this presentation. I hope that I am able to learn from the words of the angels to the shepherds today and follow that example. The shepherds too were an example to all men, for their response to the heavenly message is the response that everyone that hears the gospel should make. And their response and what followed on upon their seeing of Christ is for you and for me, Christian, a model for us to follow. May the Lord bless our study then today as we spend just a little time around this passage of God's precious word. Let me note with you first of all that on that night there could be no doubt about who the message from heaven was for. When God speaks to you, you will not be puzzling and wondering if it is you that he is speaking to. Look at what we read in the verses 9 through to 12. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. There can be no doubt here that the shepherds were those to whom this message had come. The angel of the Lord came upon them. He descended from heaven, and lightly there hovered above them this glorious angelic being, here termed the angel of the Lord, perhaps Gabriel. I say no more than perhaps, but perhaps Gabriel, the one who had brought to Mary the glad tidings some 9 months previous. Is it not appropriate that here he is again, now proclaiming this wonderful message to the shepherds? I find comfort in that as a preacher, for every preacher knows what it is to struggle with words in order to speak in such a fashion that the unconverted man knows who it is that the words are addressed to. I find it encouraging to take note of the fact that when God speaks to a man, he will make that man know that it is he who is the subject of God's words. It says the glory of heaven shone round about them, not just the drawing near of the angel, but it says that the glory of the Lord shone round about them. That which is normally to be found in heaven and not seen outside of heaven to any great extent was on this occasion manifested round the shepherds. The glory of the Lord, heaven's glory, was manifested round about those shepherds that night. Oh, that's what happens when the gospel is applied to the heart of the sinner. The sinner is suddenly conscious of a light brighter, more glorious, more wonderful than anything he has encountered before. This is the light of heaven. And how plainly we can see when heaven's light shines upon us. It made Saul of Tarsus, that bitter enemy of the gospel, suddenly understand how foolish he was, how wrong he was, how wicked he was. In the light of the glory of heaven, he saw his sin. And there is a brightness about this light that no other light has. And it's in the brightness of this light that man sees his sin. The glory of the Lord shone round about. God send us days of his glory again. May this even be for any who may not be saved here today, be a day of the Lord's glory, that they may see themselves in the light of heaven. The angel spoke to them very specifically, did they not? The angel said unto them, Fear not. Isn't it interesting that the first words that the angel said on this mission of mercy, on this announcement of good tidings, of great joy. Isn't it interesting? The first words he had to say were, fear not. Unconverted man fears, trembles at the mention of God, and even more so at any encounter with God. That's why men do not wish to discuss the matter of religion. And when I say religion, I mean gospel religion, Bible-based religion. No man will talk about religion, per se, but he does not want to converse about that which will bring home to his thoughts the truth of God. These shepherds, when faced with heaven's light and the reality of God, trembled. They trembled. And you can search your Bible from Genesis through to Revelation, and you will find that on every occasion that mortal man was brought face to face with the reality of God and his presence and his power, he trembled, even the best of men. We read of Peter trembling. We read of John, the great apostle, fainting away with fear at the revelation of God's glory. O earthly man, would live in darkness, desires to live in darkness, does not wish to be reminded of the truth of God, the reality of God. Man is on a mission to hide from such a truth. And even these shepherds, and we have some reason to consider them as modest, humble men, nevertheless trembled at the sight of angels. Not at the sight of God, the sight of angels. And the unveiling of that glorious world that men desire ever to have hidden from their eyes, for its presence brings home to them a knowledge of their sinfulness and an awareness of the judgment of God that they merit. So there was no doubt. There was no doubt whatsoever who this message was for. The shepherds knew that God was dealing with them. Secondly, they had no difficulty in understanding the message. No difficulty whatsoever. Oh, I hear the universal excuse of men that they cannot understand the Bible. That's a lie. The truth is they understand it all too well, and they wish not to read and understand what it is it has to say to them. And they use the excuse, oh, we can't understand the Bible. These humble men, they understood clearly the message that was sent to them. Look at what it says in verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Simple words. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. In verse 15, the phrase, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. The Lord hath made known unto us. They didn't say, what sort of a mysterious revelation is this? What was all that about? What is the meaning of what it is we have just heard and seen? No! There was no mystery, no puzzlement. They said, let us go now and see that which the Lord hath made known unto us. Oh, there is profundity in the depths of the gospel revelation. There are things not easily understood, undoubtedly, about eternal matter. But when it comes to the simple message of the gospel, the ABCs of the gospel, there is no man who can with justification say, I don't understand. These men understood. These weren't lettered men. These weren't members of the Sanhedrin. These weren't graduates from the Hebrew school of theology in Jerusalem. These were humble shepherds, men who had followed this calling from their very youth. But even these glorious words created no mystery in their mind. They knew what this was all about. Had they not been told in verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord? That's the message of the gospel. There is born a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And those three titles, a Saviour, Christ, the Lord, carry with it the whole glory of the revelation of God. A Saviour is born for man. A Saviour is born. He's Christ, God's appointed one. That's what the word Christ means. It means anointed or appointed. The one set aside by God. The one that God intends. that men see and understand and avail themselves of as the appointed Savior. And He's the Lord. He's the Lord of glory. He is Christ the Lord. He wasn't to be welcomed as a man, merely, but He was to be worshipped as God, for He was the Savior, Christ the Lord. There seems a contradiction in the phrase, a babe, and then the glorious title, the Lord. Verse 12, ye shall find the babe, and this babe has just been introduced to them, has just been entitled by the angels as the Lord. And reminded there of the two natures of our Savior. He is human. He has a human nature. That's why He's called the babe. But He is also divine. For in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is united together pure, spotless, sinless humanity and eternal deity. It's a mystery, but it's a glorious truth. And one that these shepherds understood as they went and surveyed that scene there where the Savior was led. They knew, we gaze upon the Christ, the one who is the Savior, the one who is the Lord of glory. And they worshipped Him. There was no difficulty for them in understanding the message. Let me show you something else that is to be observed from this passage. There is no distance or real difficulty involved in coming to Christ. No difficulty. There was no arduous journey to be undertaken by the shepherds to find the one of whom the angels had been speaking. He was within simple, easy reach. As we read in verse 8, and there were in the same country. That's used in its local sense. When it says same country, it's not referring to that large geographical area that we sometimes term as a country, but it's used in the more colloquial, parochial sense of the local area. They hadn't far to go. If the fields that I looked upon in Bethlehem were indeed the fields that the shepherds were in, they had but a short walk to go to the buildings of Bethlehem itself, where the Savior would have been born. And the simple gospel truth that I would stress to you is this. The one to whom God makes known His truth is not called upon to undertake some large and difficult task, some arduous pilgrimage that will entail a great distance. But the Lord, in speaking with the sinner, draws near to the sinner. The Lord Jesus had come down to earth. He had drawn near. He had come to seek and to save. And consequently, we read so often in the Scriptures, like Psalm 34 and the verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that call upon Him. The Lord is nigh. He's not afar off. If you're troubled today in your heart, and if you hear the voice of the Lord speaking to you, then if there is one thing that means, it is this, the Lord is nigh. The Lord is nigh. The Lord is nigh. These shepherds were told, there is born today in Bethlehem, near to you, within a few paces almost of you, one who is called the Savior, the Christ, the Lord of glory. No one has any excuse regarding coming to Christ. They cannot say, it's too far to travel, it's too much for me to undertake. The Lord is nigh. We have no excuse. Would you notice how the shepherds set for us an example in their response? For in the verse 15 it says, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go. Let us now go. You know, if you and I had had just such an experience as these men had, the revelation of heaven's glory as had never been seen by men before, there would be a lot to talk about. There's a lot of things we could sit down and discuss. The glory of the angelic beings is something you and I cannot imagine. And were we to see such a thing as that which the shepherds saw, we could sit down and wonder and marvel at what it was we had just seen. But that's not how the shepherds reacted. They were not gripped primarily by the glory of the angels. But we find their minds, their hearts, their spirits focused on the message that had been delivered, not the glory of the messenger. And so they're saying, let us go now. Let us go now. We can talk later about what it is we have seen in these wonderful angels, but we have heard a message. Let us go now. And it says in verse 16, they came with haste. Doubtless there would have been young men there, and there would have been older men there, but all hasted. All hasted to see what it was that had just been revealed to them. I thought about this, and it would be true to say that they had many reasons for not going just right away. Remember, it was the middle of the night. They could have said, well, out of consideration for the babe, who doubtless is sleeping. And after all, Mary has just given birth. I'm sure she doesn't want a rough bunch of shepherds coming to visit at this time. We'll wait for a little. No, no, they said, let us go now. And the simple truth of the matter is, and doubtless the logic of this was clear to the shepherds, if God revealed this truth to us now, he wants us to go now. Oh, that we might understand that. If God speaks on a Monday, he wants obedience on a Monday. Not Tuesday, or Wednesday, or Thursday, or Friday. If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Let us go now. They could have argued the duties of the shepherd would urge delay. We can't just leave the flock. And it would appear there were no volunteers among the shepherds who said, well, look, we'll stay with the flock. You go and see this wonderful thing. No, they left the flock. Listen to me, my friend. In my years of preaching, I have met people who have said, look, I know I need to be saved, but my business, or my family, or my wife, or my children, when I get this matter settled and sealed and completed and worked out, then... Could not the shepherds have argued that their circumstances, their duties at that moment would urge upon them a holding back until they could make some arrangements for the looking after of the sheep? But you see, these men, I believe, reasoned, if God has shown us now, we will go now and we leave the sheep in God's hands. And when it comes to the matter of salvation, you may have business difficulties that seemed to stand in the way of you becoming a Christian. I've heard many a man saying, my business is such that if I became a Christian, I couldn't operate it. I'll have to clear it up and make adjustments and then I'll become a Christian. No, my friend, come now and leave the business in God's hands. And leave the family in God's hands. Leave the wife, the husband, the sons and daughters. Leave them and whatever possible objections or difficulties they may appear to suggest. Leave them in God's hands. Leave them in God's hands. Oh, the shepherds could have argued that their duties as shepherds kept them back, but they didn't. They went there and then, and they left the welfare of the sheep in the hands of God. Let me note with you, just finally, that there is no disappointment experienced by those who obey the invitation of the gospel. In the verses 16 and 20, we read, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And then verse 20 says, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They didn't go away and say, ach, that was an awful lot of fuss about something that didn't quite live up to all the fuss. There's no disappointment in the gospel. The Queen of Sheba came to see Solomon, and doubtless, I think, she anticipated finding that Solomon was not quite all that she had heard him to be, and that his court and his kingdom didn't quite measure up to all the reports. But instead, at the end of her visit, she said, the half was not told me of thy glory and of thy kingdom. And my dear friend, that's how it is in the gospel. I have no doubt that those shepherds, when they went away, felt that the angels could have told them even more, could have said that what they were about to see was even more wonderful. There is no disappointment in the gospel. These shepherds found him as they had been told. Every word of God is true. Every word of God is true. The Lord Jesus is altogether lovely, altogether glorious. He is beyond description. He is beyond description. It is impossible for an earnest-hearted preacher to exaggerate the glories of the Lord Jesus. Let him go as far as human expression will enable him to go. And those who, prompted by what he has to say, go and investigate the Savior that he preaches will discover that he is as it was told to them. Can't be exaggerated. Can't be exaggerated. These men went away happy. Verse 20. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all. For all. Not some of the things, but all of the things that they had seen. Oh, the happiness that the gospel brings. When it is obeyed, let it be said. The happiness of the shepherds did not begin upon seeing the angels. It did not begin upon that glorious heavenly light shining round about them. The happiness of the shepherds came when they obeyed and went to see what it was that had been revealed to them. That's when the happiness became theirs. Happiness belongs to the obedient, to those who embrace the truth of the gospel. It's called the good news. And the goodness of the news is experienced only by those who act upon the news that's published. Dear Christian, notice too that these shepherds became evangelists. Verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad. They made known abroad. Humble shepherds. Oh, I couldn't say anything. Oh, I couldn't speak. Isn't that a common thing? Isn't that a common thing? I couldn't open my mouth. Prayer meeting or a public gathering. Oh, no, I couldn't open my mouth. But these shepherds had seen that which so filled them with joy and wonder and rejoicing that they could not but speak. And they made known abroad. It doesn't say how they made known it abroad. In other words, it doesn't say they convened a meeting and one after another got up and preached for an hour. But there would have been youngsters there that went home and told father and mother what it was he had seen. In the words of a simple youth, there would have been the more elderly there, a father, a grandfather. And doubtless he went home and gathered his family around and said, listen, let me tell you what I have seen tonight, made known abroad. Oh God, help us to be as the shepherds in that matter, as well as in the matter of obeying immediately the gospel message of Christ. None who have ever followed the shepherd's example have experienced disappointment. There is no disappointment in obeying God's word. These men made known abroad. Made known abroad. And as a result of their testimony, we read in verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered. How many shepherds were there? I don't really know. I don't imagine there was a very big number. I can't imagine there were any more shepherds than there are folk here today. But listen, if you and I would act as they acted, Tavistock would be wondering before very long. One little thought in closing. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Again, notice what it was they made known. Not what their eyes had seen, but the words that had been revealed to them. They made known abroad the saying which was told them. Would you spread the gospel? Then stick to the word. Stick to the word. Don't indulge in myths and fancies and fairy tales. Stick to the word. And could I underline one other little word? They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. No mention of Mary. No mention of Joseph. They spoke only of Jesus. They spoke only of Jesus. May he be the subject of our worship and our witness at this season and every season of the year. If you're not saved today, if you have never taken the journey that the shepherds took, dropped everything and obeyed the call to come and worship at the feet of Christ, may you do it today. Oh, may you do it today and rejoice as they rejoice. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Please let us bow in prayer. Father, we pray that you will graciously speak to us today through thine own precious word. And may each one of us ponder what it is we have heard from thy word this day. Lord, may good be wrought within our hearts, within our lives, within our homes, within our districts as a result of that. Have mercy, Lord, on this community. we pray of thee. O God, make it a wonder yet through the witness of the gospel. Take our thanks now, and as we return home, Lord, after this service, we pray especially, given the state of the roads, that we may know traveling mercies for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen.